My message this morning is entitled, God Purges. And the reason why I titled it that way is because we're going to talk about being pruned by God. Now, the original title of the message was God Prunes, but what we're going to take a look at is the Bible actually uses purge. Now, there really isn't a difference between the two, because they both have a similar meaning. But I titled it God Purges because it comes straight from what the Bible says. So with that said, if you have your Bibles with you, please turn with me to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. We're going to start in verse 1. John 15, 1. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth. He purgeth it that it may bring forth more fruit. I'm going to stop right there for a second. We see that Jesus says that he purges the good branches so that they might bear more fruit. But who's doing the purging? Is it you or is it God? It is God that is purging you. It's God who purges you. Jesus says, I am the vine. He also says that we are the branches. And all the branches that don't bear fruit will be cut off and thrown in to the fire eventually. And we notice that even on a good branch, there are things on that branch where it's no good. It's no good to be cast down. So the purpose of purging is to cut off the bad stuff out of a believer's life that person can bear much more fruit than they have been. So purging is a necessity in a believer's life. Now, continuing on, it says, now ye are clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. Now, Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. And therefore, the only way that we are to bear fruit, the only way we can bear fruit, good fruit, is to be in Christ. The question I have for you today is, are you in Christ? Because without Christ, you can't bear fruit. Without Christ, you are a dead branch. It is only through Christ that we're able to bear fruit. Now, I didn't say produce fruit. I said bear fruit. There's two different things. Bearing fruit is not the same as producing fruit. We are to bear it. We are not to produce it. God is the one that brings the produce. We're to be light. We are to be the ones to show forth that fruit. That's what it means to bear, is we're supposed to show that fruit. Amen. Now, it says, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Now, what does purge, to kind of put purge and pruning, they both have very similar definitions. And if there's any definition I can give it that's very simple, it's this. It's to cut off the bad stuff. So whatever bad is, God cuts it off. Now, there is some cases where God will allow certain things. He'll allow certain not so good things to be in your life for a specific reason. And we're going to be kind of getting in that a little bit today. But let's go to, if you can turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. And while you guys are turning there, when we get purged, when God takes out the bad stuff, it's not one of those things that feels very good. Sometimes God will purge sins out of our life. Sometimes He won't. There are times that even God will actually purge people out of our lives because it's not beneficial to them. In other words, what do I mean by being purged from people? Sometimes there comes a time if a person is in disobedience, we have to be careful who we associate with. Because if we associate with different types of people, that can ruin our testimony. So sometimes God calls us sometimes God purges us from people. And I'm going to tell you something, that is very, very hard. That is not a very light thing, and it's a very difficult thing. Because sometimes there are times that the people that we have to separate from are usually ones who either have hurt us or are mentors or friends. I know this because there are people that I've looked up to and served with that God had dealt with me on being separate from them because of just who they are. And that's really hard. It's not easy to disassociate yourself with people that you looked up to, that you served under or with, and now you have to separate from because of what they've done, what they believe, and all that stuff. And that's a very, very, very difficult thing. Now, as per sins, Matthew chapter 5, we're going to start, to kind of get the context of this, we're going to start, we're going to start here in verse 27. Jesus said, "Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that the one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body would be cast into hell. If thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that the whole body should be cast into hell." Now I want to clarify in something. Jesus said, if your right eye offend thee, pluck it out. He didn't say to literally pluck out your eye. We can take that, when we read it in context, and the way I see it is, and I can be wrong on this, but it's not literally cutting out your eye, and it's not literally chopping off your hand. When we come across things that causes us to sin, we need to get rid of that source. And I'm not talking about your physical eyes, and I'm not talking about even, just if there's something like on the internet that's causing you to stumble, you need to cut it off. Because again, Jesus said it is better to be maimed than whole. There are things that we have to cut out of our lives. But the thing is, you can't cut out sin on your own accord. It only comes by the strength and power of Christ. Because it is Christ who deals with your sin. It is Christ who chastens His kids and purges you. We can't do it on our own flesh, because our flesh is so corrupt and so wicked that it'll just do whatever it wants to. Make no mistake, we can never do anything on our own accord. We can't. It is Christ who purges. It is Christ who cuts off those things. We cannot do things by our flesh. If we do, we will fail. Now, with that said, there are instances where God won't immediately purge your sin. There are instances where He won't. And the reason why that is because God wants to teach you to have hope. Sometimes God leaves things in to teach you hope. Now that might seem like really far out of left field or right field, and what are you talking about? Well, let's consider a couple examples. Let's consider Israel, how God left the enemies of Israel in the land. When Israel came into the land, there were people who didn't know how to fight. There was a generation that rose up that didn't know how to fight. And God left those enemies there to teach God how to fight. There's a reason for that. That was the reason. And sometimes we might have sins in our lives that we struggle with. There are sins that, Lord, I can't stop. Help me. And sometimes we wonder why that sin hasn't been fully purged. Sometimes, and what I've come to realize is that God will do that to teach us to have hope. Because we have one hope. That's Christ Jesus. Looking on to that blessed hope. Jesus Christ is our hope. And sometimes we don't know how to look onto that hope as we ought to. In Judges chapter 2 verse 3 it says, "Wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out before you, but they shall be as thorns in your sides, and your God should be a snare unto you." Judges chapter 3 verse 1 through 2 it says, "Now these are the nations which the Lord left to prove Israel by them, even as many of Israel as had not known all the wars of Canaan, only that generations of the children of Israel might know to teach them war, at the least such as before knew nothing thereof." So we see there right from Scripture that God left those enemies in the land to teach this new generation how to fight. You know, I think sometimes that's what God does for us too. Sometimes we need to learn how to fight. But God will not allow you to stand on your own without Him. If anything that we do that's good, and anything, if we can even stand, God gets all the glory. Because God, if there's one thing God will not do, is He will not share His glory with anybody. All that glory goes to God. So anything that we do is because of Christ. I'm not up here preaching because I deserve it and I am worthy of it. No. As a matter of fact, I'm quite the opposite. I'm not worthy to be up here to preach. I'm not worthy to open God's Word to teach you the Word of God. As a matter of fact, if there's anything I deserve, it's hell. But the reason why I'm not in hell and the reason why I'm up here preaching is because it's all Christ. It's by His blood it's by God's mercy and by God's grace that I could be up here to teach. But there is no other reason but that. One last thing and we'll close. Consider Paul's thorn in the flesh. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 through 10, it says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." The Apostle Paul had received a numerous amount of revelations. Knowledge puffeth up. So lest Paul got puffed up, God allowed a thorn to be in his flesh to humble him. And sometimes I think too, that's why we struggle with things, is because God is showing us that, and he's showing us and teaching us to rely on him and giving him the glory, because our flesh likes to take the credit. We want to be puffed up with pride. We want to have big egos. But God says, it's not about you, it's about me. And God will allow sins in our lives to make sure your ego doesn't get brought up or you don't get puffed up with pride. And sometimes sins can be thorns in our flesh. But you know what? That's a good thing, because if there's anything that God wants to do to us is to humble us. Because when we go home to be with the Lord, it's not about us. It's about Christ. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am made strong. You know, when we have these thorns in our flesh, when we cry out to God, to Christ, he says, my grace is sufficient for thee. And sometimes that's all we really need is grace. Because that's how we will endure, is by grace. We are saved by grace through faith, not of ourselves, lest any man should boast. Salvation is not of your works. It is of what Christ did at the cross. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness. We thank you for your grace and mercy. Father, I just pray, Lord, that your word would just penetrate in hearts, Lord. And I pray, Lord, if even one person got it, then it'd be all worth it. Father, we thank you for today. We ask that you bless this day, make this a great day. We thank you and praise you, and we glorify you. We pray these things in your name. Amen. If we can have the choir come up, and then Jed, you can come up as well.